This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere, and we're on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, how's it going today, man?
It's going. I have a bone to pick with you. I want you to introduce our guest first because I'm going to have him jump in on this because I definitely need his input.
Okay. Well, our guest today is Jason Moore of the Fantasy Footballers podcast. They also have a podcast called The Spitballers that I was actually listening to right before we came on the show, just because you need some comic relief. These guys are really funny. And Jason, don't tell the other guys, but you're the funniest of all of them. Thanks for taking the time to come on our show.
Thank you, Bobby. I don't need to tell them. They already know it. They're with me every day. They completely understand, but happy to be here.
It's our pleasure. So, Tags, what is your bone to pick, man?
All right. So, Jason, I'm not even going to tell you what side I'm on here, but I'm guessing you're probably going to be able to tell from the way I'm putting this question together. So we got a tweet from one of our followers asking us, is it okay for two managers to intentionally lose their matchups in order to create a different playoff scenario?
Oh, man.
Together.
They're not intentionally losing their matchups. They're benching everybody so that they can tie to make sure that one of them doesn't get knocked out.
So that one doesn't get knocked out of the playoff hunt. Is that allowed?
Yeah, there's a version of this question which is a legitimate debate and difficult. This is not that version. This is very clear-cut, straightforward. No, that's not allowed. You can't have two owners colluding to affect the outcome. That's known as collusion, as the name suggests. And furthermore, if you are going to go down the debatable route of like, man, it would be better for my team, the best thing for my team is to lose this week, you still have to roster a team at the very least. You can't skirt the rules of what positions you're supposed to start. So no, that's an albatross.
Thank you.
This is absurd to me, okay? Because in baseball, this is known as strategy. You do this every single year in rotisserie baseball. Everybody does it in baseball, but in fantasy football, it's suddenly not okay.
I can tell you exactly why that's different. It makes a lot of sense, Bobby, because baseball's really stupid. It's a dumb game. And so people that like that are themselves clearly less smart, and so yeah, the smart players play in fantasy football, and so that makes complete sense.
So I love this strategy. I don't really care, like, if it's allowed, then do it.
You're wrong here. It's colluding. So the thing is, it's, as a commissioner, you should not allow vetoes. I don't believe in vetoes. You shouldn't be able to tell people what to do with their team. If they're morons, you can't help that.
Yeah, but like, how is this different than benching your defense when you're up 2 points hoping they don't get a -4?
Because that's for your team. That's one team doing it. If one team, like, so Bobby.
Yeah, and this is also for your team. It's guaranteeing you make the playoffs because you're in a position to make the playoffs.
You, let's pretend you right now are sitting there looking at your computer and you're like, okay, so I have the 3 seed. If I lose this week, I'll play this team. That's fine. If you can, you can control your own team. If it's your one team, you could do whatever the hell you want with it. I am fine with that. If two people are doing it together, it is absolute collusion. And you are wrong on this one, Bobby. A lot of people said that they would leave your league over this. And I actually agree. I would not put up with that as a commissioner. I'd be like,
I mean, I won't ever have to be in this situation because I'm always in first or second place. All right, guys, let's move along. Obviously, Tags is wrong here. You all can write us. We're at Bobby Fantasy Pro, at Mike Taglier NFL, and Jason's at Jason FFL on Twitter. So, guys, we're going to be talking about start-sit decisions today, going running back, wide receiver, quarterback, tight end, defense, special teams in that order. We're going to be moving on over to news here in just a second, but first I want to remind you all, we've got a signed Dalvin Cook helmet that we're going to be giving away to one of our lucky listeners. All you have to do is go to fantasypros.com/contest, and we have a YouTube channel. If you go to youtube.com/fantasypros and subscribe there, that's part of the contest. We're going to draw out one name and give away this bad boy to one lucky listener. Also, that comes from pristineauction.com. Check out what they have for you. They've got hundreds of auction lots that end every single day and some really affordable prices. You'll be surprised. I saw a William Refrigerator Perry signed orange Bears jersey that went for just $61 yesterday. A red Giant signed Saquon Barkley jersey, $114. These things will look beautiful in your man cave or wherever you want to put it. Check out pristineauction.com, and everything is guaranteed authentic from the most trusted sources. You pay what you bid. There's no hidden fees or anything like that. It's pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. And when you buy something from them, make sure to let them know Fantasy Pro sent you. That way we can keep doing these giveaways. Tags, any news you want to talk about first? There was a ton of news that broke like right after we recorded our Monday podcast.
There was a whole lot of news. I don't know if much of it is crazy fantasy relevant, like Blake Bortles was benched. I mean, that should have been expected at some point. But the biggest news that has come across today, oh, I should say yesterday I read it, is that Sammy Watkins still not practicing. He's still having foot soreness. I've talked about this with wide receivers, and that Sammy Watkins is someone that has been extremely inefficient when he's played through a foot injury. So he's someone that I don't want on my team if I can help it. But there's no, like, trading deadlines have probably passed, so you're probably just keeping him on your bench. But AJ Green, apparently he heard that Andy Dalton's out for the year, and he's like, yo, like, I am going to come back for this game because Jeff Driscoll is the man. He needs me on the field. And apparently AJ Green is saying that he's going to try and give it a go this week. We don't know for sure, but it's definitely something to keep tabs on.
Jason, take it or leave it. Andy Dalton's the starting quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals this time next year.
I'm gonna leave it. I don't believe that that's gonna be the truth. Andy Dalton, I think you're gonna have a finally, and of course we so many people have thought this for so many years. I think you're gonna have a huge change for Cincinnati, and the head coach will be finally.
It's not gonna be Hugh Jackson, is it?
No, it can't. It can't be.
They should be barred from the NFL if they do.
No, I mean, look, that would be a lot of fun for my show and for all of the jokes. But no, Cincinnati can't possibly do that.
I hope not. You know, I was talking about this on the on our internal Slack chat, just thinking, like, who are the Patriots going to replace Tom Brady with? Obviously, it's not going to be Brian Hoyer. I doubt they draft a rookie, like, in the late first round and start him. Could Andy Dalton be a fit in Bill Belichick's system? Because he's a name that came to my mind.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bill Belichick would get the best out of whoever he's got, and the best Andy Dalton is actually a good quarterback in the NFL. The only downside is their team would be winning games, which means they would get primetime games, and you do not want Andy Dalton when primetime television is on. He is a mental head case in that situation. So, yeah, I mean, I don't expect that is actually a path forward for the Patriots.
Yeah. Okay, guys, one last piece of news I want to mention. Marlon Mack is still in concussion protocol. We'll talk about, you know, if it's going to be Nyheim Hines, Jordan Wilkins, or what you do if Marlon Mack is active. So let's get right into it. In fact, let's start right there. What are we doing with this Colts backfield, Tags? Are you starting Marlon Mack if he's good to go?
I really don't want to play Marlon Mack if I don't have to, honestly. Like, he played the Jags just a couple weeks ago, and what did he total? 29 yards on the ground. So it's not a great matchup for him, even if he did play. But if you get rid of him, I think that Jordan Wilkins might be worth, like, low-end RB3 consideration. And people are going to be like, well, why wouldn't you want to play Mack, but you want to play Wilkins? Wilkins has played really well as of late. And if you kind of look at the Colts roster, the time that Wilkins started playing better is when the offensive line started playing better. So this game is in Jacksonville. Cody Kessler's under center for Jacksonville. I don't view it as a very high scoring game. So I think the rushing attempts will be there for Wilkins if Mack is out.
You don't think Hines is going to get a bunch of snaps?
I don't. He's been kind of slowly being phased out of the offense. Jacksonville hasn't allowed a lot through the air to running backs. He only caught 3 passes the last time these two teams played, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah, but the last time Mack was out, he had 15 carries. He ended up having 9 last week against Miami with Marlon Mack being knocked out.
But that's when Wilkins was struggling, though. Wilkins was really struggling at the beginning of the year, and I think it had to do a lot with the offensive line and that he didn't offer much through the passing game. But I'm telling you, man, this kid has grown throughout the year, and he looks really good. Like, he's looked better than Marlon Mack the last few weeks on limited work.
No, he has not. Get out of here. Marlon Mack has looked amazing. Jordan Wilkins is a fine runner. My problem with Wilkins is, look, he fumbled again, and they said no more Wilkins, and it was the Nyheim Hines show, 9 carries last week. If I had to pick one of those two guys, I lean the Hines side, because I think on the Hines side, you've got Andrew Luck throwing the ball, and I realize, look, on the ground or through the air, it's not a good matchup. So I'm not in love with any Colts running back. For this specific week, if I had to play one, I hope that it's Marlon Mack, because if he passes concussion protocol, I think he's the most talented all-around runner there. Then I would go Hines, then I would go Wilkins.
I'm not going any of them. I wouldn't have any of them in my top 30, no matter what we hear, going up against the Jags. I would rather pick up Justin Jackson and play him, just hoping that he gets 10 more touches.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all in agreement here that none of them are a great start. But if Mac did play, my concern, though, Jason, like, let's say that Mac does clear the concussion protocol on, like, Saturday. So Frank Reich has not been the type, like, he's said all along, and it happened with Marlon Mack earlier in the season when he came back against Washington. He says if a player doesn't practice, he's not going to play. And my concern here is that if Marlon Mack doesn't practice all week, and granted, it's a concussion, there's nothing he can do about it, but does that mean he doesn't get much playing time even if he is active?
Yeah, I think he would go. I mean, now that he's been practicing through the year, he's been part of the game plans, and he's around, I still think he would be put into the first situation. But you are right, Tags. We are in agreement that hopefully you don't play a Colt running back this week.
Yeah, if you are, you're probably not going to make the playoffs, because that means your team is in a horrible place. Unless you just lost Melvin Gordon or whatever. I don't know when he's going to come back. It's not going to matter anyway, right? Le'Veon Bell's going to be the starting running back for the Colts next year.
they're not ponying up that kind of money.
There's no way. At least according to Le'Veon Bell, he would like to see that happen, but I highly doubt Reich does that.
Le'Veon Bell would like to see $20 million a year, too.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, guys. A couple other running backs. I don't know what to do with James White. Going up against the Vikings, Rex Burkhead is coming back. Sony Michel's obviously the man there. Jason, everyone was saying just a few weeks ago, James White's arrested the season RB1. At this point, is he even startable against the Vikings?
Yeah, he certainly looked like he was going to be an RB1. This is another situation where you're in a flex where you would prefer to not start him. I do think he is a startable asset because, you know, his work in the passing game can give you something that no one else can give you. The Vikings matchup isn't good, but you also have Sony Michel a little bit banged up. Left the game with a back injury last week. So, it's a somewhat similar situation to the Colts. I would prefer not to start him, but he is a guy that I think you can put in your lineup, and he's not going to go out there and give you a goose. You know, worst case scenario, which obviously is not great, is probably going to be, 6 points. If you're in a PPR league, you get a boost over that. But when you're on the Patriots offense, you have touchdown opportunities, and I still think James White has that.
So would you rather play him than someone like LeSean McCoy, Tevin Coleman?
Tevin Coleman, he's my pump the brakes this week. I'm not a big Tevin Coleman fan. For me, I've got James White. He's my running back 25, so just outside. I do have him ahead of both McCoy and Coleman right now.
Tags, I am not playing Coleman. He's averaging 9 carries per game over his last 3. Do you have him in your top 30?
Coleman's at 31 for me, so he's definitely labeled as a sit if you can help it. You don't want to play him against the Ravens if you don't have to. The Falcons' run game has really struggled the last 3 weeks. 41 carries, 129 yards on the ground. Basically, if Coleman doesn't score, he's going to bust, and that's always worrisome. So going back to James White, I think James White might be the best running back play on the Patriots this week, actually, because Sony Michel, he did return to that game. He looked good, but the Vikings are a team that's only allowed 3 rushing touchdowns all year long. And here's a stat that's going to sound like crazy. All year long, they've now played 11 games. There's been one team of running backs who has scored more than 25 PPR points against the Vikings. And that was the Saints duo of Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, who kind of just do that to everybody.
Sure. Because they're basically wide receivers too.
Yeah, so we kind of have to pick our poison here and say, which running back are we going to go with? I think this is a game where the Patriots can use their short passing game to kind of like get down the field against Minnesota. They may be without Xavier Rhodes, so it's going to change some things in that secondary too. Rex Burkhead's probably going to be eased back into the offense. Will he take a little upside away from White? Maybe, but there's only been one game this year where White's seen fewer than five targets. The Vikings are allowing over 7 yards per target to running backs, which ranks 11th most in the league. So I actually have James White ranked right there with Sony Michel. And I mean, if you're in a PPR format, I think I would rather play James White this week.
Wow. Okay. Very interesting. Let's go to a couple other guys. I'm going to give you three names. Jason, you can go first. Tell me which one you would start. This is for the more shallow leagues. So we've got Gus Edwards at Atlanta. We've got Lamar Miller face Cleveland and Dalvin Cook at the New England Patriots. Which of those three would you start, Jason?
Man, those are three good options. Despite Lamar Miller's huge week and Dalvin Cook's draft capital, I'm going with Gus Edwards. The running back that faces the Atlanta Falcons every single week is just an absolute super stud through the vast majority of this year. Gus Edwards, his workload, and the fact that they've come out and said Lamar Jackson is the quarterback. The Gus bus got started when Lamar Jackson got the start. And so I think this is a duo that's going to, the work is going to be there. The matchup is there. The Vegas point total is there. I don't see a situation where I bench Gus Edwards this week.
I don't either, but if I'm having to decide between Edwards and Miller, I think I would lean towards Miller because most of the damage done against the Falcons has, not most of it, but a lot of it has been done through the air with running backs. Gus Edwards has one target, one reception this year. Tags, which of these guys are you going with?
Yeah, Miller, for me, is a top 10 running back play this week. I don't know how you bench him, to be honest with you. Like, I don't know, like, what changed with him because, like, what, over the last five games, he's averaged
20 carries a game. That's what's changed
for
him.
Well, that's the thing. He's averaging 5.98 yards per carry, has three touchdowns in those five games. The only game that he actually busted was against the Broncos, and the Broncos have shut down legitimately every running back they've played the last month and a half. Like, and there's some really good names in there. Like, Kareem Hunt was shut down by them a couple weeks back. So they've been really good, right? Now, looking at Lamar Miller, the Browns have allowed a top 10 running back in three of their last four games played, including two of them finishing as top three options. There's just so much to like with him in this week. Like, the Browns opponents average over 70 plays per game, and that's going to play right into what Houston does. So I think Lamar Miller, even if he's splitting carries with Alfred Blue, he sees at least 18 carries in this game, sees a couple targets in the passing game because Kiki QT probably not going to play. The Browns offense has been able to put some points on the board. I just think that the Houston offense is one to attack this week. So I definitely like Lamar Miller. Gus Bus, I'm a little worried about him just because, as Bobby mentioned, this is an Atlanta team that is not the Raiders and they're not the Bengals. Okay. Like, they have some injuries on defense, but they've been playing a little bit better as of late on D. But Edwards, if the game script here goes negatively, and it's very possible that it does because Atlanta's offense can score on anybody if they're operating on all cylinders. And if for whatever reason, let's say that Atlanta jumps out to a 10-0 lead, all of a sudden Gus Edwards is being pulled for Ty Montgomery. And that's worrisome to me. So I have Gus Edwards as a low-end RB2 this week. I don't think he's a bad play by any means, but I think there is concerns with game script. Whereas Lamar Miller, he's going to be playing no matter what.
I think they still run the ball if they're down 10. I mean, I love Gus Edwards. I think he's a top 15 play this week. I just agree. I've got Lamar Miller as an RB1. Can we all agree, though, that Dalvin Cook is number 3 on this list? Jason, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Tags?
I have Dalvin Cook in the middle between the two. I just feel like this game is going to be a little bit more high scoring than usual. The Patriots defense, stop trying to find trends with them because you can't. Like, legitimately, you can't. Like, they're just all over the board. Most teams I can look at and say, okay, this is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. This is why they allowed this week. The Patriots, there is nothing. There is no correlation with things. They kind of just change things up every week. But when you have to worry about Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs the way that they do, Kyle Rudolph's a threat. They've been struggling against tight ends. I just think that Dalvin Cook might be a little bit overlooked. And I haven't liked Cook much the last few weeks, Bobby. You know that. But I think this week, at New England, I think this game is higher scoring than people think. So I'm playing Dalvin Cook over someone like Joe Mixon this week.
I think he's got to break out eventually. I don't know. I don't want to bank on it any week. I would much rather take the safer play between Miller and Edwards than Dalvin Cook. But all three of those are solid top 20 options. Now let's move on to three middling options. Josh Adams face Washington, Mark Ingram at Dallas, and then Tariq Cohen at the Giants. Jason, we'll let you go first on this one as well.
Yeah, I realized last week against the Falcons, the New Orleans Saints running backs disappointed, mostly because Drew Brees was just throwing touchdowns to everyone not named Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
But I am not off of Mark Ingram. It's not the best matchup in the world. Dallas's defense has been getting it going. They're on the road, but I'm still taking the piece in, you know, it's kind of like it's Robert Woods. Robert Woods is not the number one target. You know, he's not the number one wide receiver there, but when you've got that high powered of an offense, you know, for the Los Angeles Rams, you take every piece you can get. And that's why I'm going to make sure Mark Ingram is in my lineup because, you know, yes, if he doesn't score a touchdown, he's very boom or bust. You know, I think he's averaging past the running back 40 when he doesn't get a touchdown. That's not just boom. He's pretty much, you know, a top 10, top 5 type of running back as far as his potential because he has the potential to have multi-touchdown games that not a lot of other players have. And if you're in that consideration for like a flex option, I want the guy who can really hammer an opponent. So I'm going to lean Mark Ingram on that one.
Now, Tags, these guys are ECR. That's expert consensus rankings. Their ECRs are 20, 21, and 22. I've got one of them 6 spots higher than the other two. Can you guess who that is?
Is it Josh Adams?
No.
Who is it?
It's Mark Ingram, baby. Mark Ingram's a top 15 play every week. I know he's going to have some rough ones. So are Josh Adams and Tariq Cohen, though. Like, let's not pretend that those guys can't bust. I think Mark Ingram has some serious upside. I love the offense. He's still getting the goal line carries. He's using the pass game, too. He's going to have some rough ones, but I trust him. I think his floor is better than Josh Adams and Cohen.
Yeah, so I have Ingram 1 spot ahead of Josh Adams, and I mean, those guys are both the same territory. They're both going to play a little bit limited snaps, but here's a fact I came across on Josh Adams when writing up that game today. Over the first 42 games under Doug Peterson's coaching tenure, there were 6 running backs who hit the 40-snap mark. 4 of those were Darren Sproles. So Josh Adams became the 7th one last week. And that's despite having to leave the game in the first quarter after a shoulder injury. And he had a long touchdown run that was called back due to a holding penalty. So Josh Adams, it seems like they're going with him. And I'm not going to sit here and say Washington is as good a matchup as the Giants were because they're not. Otherwise, I'd have Josh Adams up there as a top 15 option again. But Washington hasn't been great either. I mean, 3 of the last 4 teams that have played them have rushed for 128 or more yards. They've allowed 6 touchdowns through 11 games. So that's not great, but I mean, Philly at home, they're favored by, I think, 6 points in this game against Colt McCoy. I don't think Josh Adams is like a smash play, but I do think that he's startable over guys like Austin Ekeler and Doug Martin.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. I think Josh Adams' floor is the safest of the 3. I think Mark Ingram can easily finish behind Josh Adams if they both have a bad game. But Josh Adams has been, I mean, the involvement, you know, the 60%+ snap percentage for a Philadelphia running back is great.
Yeah.
Jason, I was looking at the expert accuracy rankings before you came on. You just moved into the top 10 this year, and for draft accuracy last year, you were number 3 out of over 125 competitors. Do you have, like, some special place you're eating at lunch?
Yes, Ruth's Chris every day.
All right, guys, let's move on down. We've got 3 deeper league running backs, or if your team is just really bad at the running back position. So let's go Jordan Howard against the Giants. Doug Martin faced the Chiefs. Let's go Theo Riddick against the Rams. Tagged your first on this one.
So that's crazy because I actually have Jordan Howard and Doug Martin as both top 25 options this week. I have Jordan Howard 1 spot higher than Doug Martin just because I think the game script is going to go better for him than it will for Doug Martin. Doug Martin essentially has to get something done in the first half. Otherwise, he's going to not live up to, I mean, top 25 isn't hard to get into, but Kansas City has really struggled against running backs all year. But
yeah, and it's not like last week against Detroit was really a surprise. They added Damon Harrison. They've been a lot better against the run, Detroit has.
Yeah, that's what people are kind of overlooking here is that Jordan Howard struggled, yeah, but I mean, if you go back a couple weeks ago, people were talking about Jordan Howard coming back as, you know, when he scored a touchdown against the Jets. He scored against the Bills, I think, 2 touchdowns. So the Giants, ever since trading Damon Harrison to the Lions, have allowed 535 yards on 104 carries and 4 rushing touchdowns in 4 games. A lot of people wondered why Taequann Mizzell was in the game for the Bears last week. It had to do with Chase Daniel, the fact that those two practiced together with the backups. It was familiar. It was a very, very short turnaround. They were playing after like 3 days, not even full, 3 days of rest. So this week, the game plan has been better. Like, at the Giants, the way to beat this team is you run the football against them. They're on the road in cold weather. I just feel like Jordan Howard's going to get 15-plus carries here, and I think people are forgetting he's not the worst running back in the NFL. He doesn't play well in this offense. I haven't liked Jordan Howard recently, but I think this matchup is one that the Bears need to get that running game going, and this is one of those games that they can. And Jordan Howard has totaled 14 or more carries in 7 of 10 games.
Jason, I've got Jordan Howard in my top 25 as well. I can't really believe in Doug Martin since he's been splitting that backfield. I know it's a good matchup against the Chiefs, but again, they're really bad against pass-catching running backs. That's not exactly Martin. I would actually play Riddick ahead of him. Where do you stand on these three?
Yeah, Howard's been crushing my soul. I mean, he's just, he was a guy who was so high on coming into this season. He's disappointed me. I love what you're saying on the short week turnaround with Mazzell and tags. That's good information, but I still worry about it. I still worry why would they change? You know, they won last week, and so I'm a little more worried about Howard. I actually would have Doug Martin the highest of these three. The matchup is great, and I totally understand. I totally get the whole, well, if they're down by a lot, then Jalen Richard's going to be the guy that's out there catching 7, 8, 9 passes, and that might be true, but I don't think that actually takes away from Doug Martin. It's not like we haven't seen the Oakland Raiders getting blown out plenty of times over the last several weeks, and Doug Martin's still been involved. He's double-digit carries in every single game since their bye week. That's including a game where he left early third quarter or so. He's actually shockingly looked a little bit explosive, which has kind of blown my mind. I think in this matchup, if you've got a guy, I'm more sure that Doug Martin has double-digit carries than Jordan Howard. Both matchups are great, so I'm going to go with the guy who's been playing better, which disgustingly somehow is Doug Martin.
So, guys, I mentioned earlier, I like Justin Jackson as a sneaky play. Tags, do you have one this week that you're fond of?
I like Derrick Henry this week. I haven't said that. I don't know if I've said that at all this year, to be honest with you.
I must be missing something here because I don't see this. What do you see?
The Jets have been terrible, man. Like, over the last 2 weeks, the Jets defense.
So has Derrick Henry for, like, his whole career.
Derrick Henry has looked better the last few weeks, and Deion Lewis has been terrible.
If better means 8 carries for 30 yards, then sure.
Well, I mean, 8 carries for 30 yards. He's almost at 4 yards per carry. It was a tough matchup against Houston, so I'm not going to like hold that against him. But against the Jets have allowed over 210 yards rushing each of the last 2 games. So, like, that was against the Bills. I mean, I don't think the Bills were a team that you were worried about. Shady McCoy has 2 touchdowns this season, and both of them came against the Jets. Like, this run defense is just really, really struggling right now. So you kind of have to pick which one you want to play. Tennessee's at home. They're a favorite in that game. I like Derrick Henry. I have him as a top 30 play this week. I also think, like, Frank Gore is not a bad play.
You're probably right.
I feel like I'm sick. Like, I don't know what's happening because these players are never guys that I want to play.
Yeah, we're recommending Frank Gore and Doug Martin. We never would have guessed that at the start of the season.
Yeah, no, definitely wouldn't have. But, yeah, there have been 10 different running backs to score a touchdown against the Bills this year, and I think Frank Gore might get his first one of the year with Kenyon Drake a little banged up. He had to leave the game late with a shoulder injury. He hasn't been getting much touches. In games where Miami's in it, I mean, Frank Gore is going to be out there, so I think Gore is a top 30 option this week.
Jason, do you have a sneaky one for a desperate owner looking for a running back this week?
Sneaky desperate play. I would throw Royce Freeman out there. Royce Freeman has kind of gone away as Philip Lindsay's just been dominating the last 2 weeks, only 7, 6 carries, 23 yards, 17 yards. So Royce Freeman's going to hit a lot of waiver wires. And if he's out there, I mean, this is the type of matchup where Royce Freeman is a great goal line back. He, you know, before he got injured, he was used a lot, had 4 touchdowns before the injury, and Philip Lindsay's my start of the week this week. I think he's going to be unbelievably great because
he's like a must play in DraftKings, isn't he?
Yeah, 100%. He's a must play, but that's because of how bad the Bengals defense is against running backs, and Royce Freeman's a quality back. So, you know, usually I don't want the second running back in an RBBC. When I do, it's against the Bengals.
That's a really good call. My eyes just kind of glaze over when I see Royce Freeman at this point, but I could definitely see playing him this week. I still got Justin Jackson ahead of him, but I'm moving him up my rankings as you're talking about this.
I think it's been since week 5 that the Bengals haven't given up a rushing touchdown.
Oh, wow.
At least one.
I like that call, and I also think that I want to throw Spencer Ware into that mix against Oakland. Oakland allows the most rushing yards per game. Kareem Hunt he's actually only topped 100 yards once this season. He's only topped 20 carries once this season.
Are you serious?
Yeah, knowing that the Raiders see an average, I think, of a 28 or 29 carries per game, I think we could see Spencer Ware hit double-digit touches in this game, and if he does, he's going to finish higher than his ranking is right now.
Man, you guys are smart. Those are 2 really good calls.
Yes, we did it.
All right, guys, let's move on over to wide receiver and tags. We're going to start right where we finished with running back. Do you have that sneaky play that no one is really talking about?
A sneaky play that no one's talking about? I don't want to say that because I'm sure there's people out there who are, you know, smarter than me and talking about that. But I'm going to go with, I know people are going to hate him, but Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Yeah, baby. That's what I was going to say. All right. We're on the same page.
No, that's definitely a good thing. People are just kind of falling off too far. I think the matchups weren't very good the last couple weeks. But this one does hinge on the fact I want Randall Cobb to miss the game. Because if Randall Cobb misses the game, the Cardinals have been brutal covering the slot this year. They had Buda Baker converted. Well, he's a safety. They're having him play slot corner. He's been out. Hasn't been playing very well. Jason knows this very well because Arizona's his team. But they've been flip-flopping, trying to find the right combination. It's been Leonard Johnson the last 2 weeks. He's allowed 9 of 9 passing for 102 yards in his coverage. We don't know if Baker comes back for this game, but even if Baker does, he's allowed an 88% catch rate in his coverage. So with Davante Adams dealing with Patrick Peterson the majority of the game, I just feel like this is the best matchup on the field. And if for whatever reason Randall Cobb practices in full all week and then he comes back for this game, Cobb might be an interesting one because I want the slot receiver against the Cardinals.
People got so mad at me when I recommended picking up MVS earlier this week if he's available because he's the number two wide receiver for the Packers. Like, that's a great situation. Are we going to pretend that just because he had 2 bad weeks, he can't be good? Look at Kenny Golladay. He had 3 bad weeks in a row. All of a sudden, he's the man. He's, what, top 15 ECR? Jason, are you with us? Do you think MVS is a solid pickup and play?
I'm half with you. I think he could be. The narrative of being the number two wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers, that's been great because the number two wide receiver since 2011 for Aaron Rodgers averages the wide receiver 15 on the fantasy finish through the year, which is great. However, you have to keep in mind, Aaron Rodgers pretty much averages over that same stretch the quarterback 1. That's not the Aaron Rodgers we have right now. That Aaron Rodgers is a streaming quarterback play right now. Week in, week out, if you've got Aaron Rodgers and Phillip Rivers on your team, you need to make a start-sit decision. It's not like years past where it's just an auto start, and that, you know, filters down to the wide receivers, and, you know, it's a chicken or egg situation. Is it Aaron Rodgers not playing well, or is it, you know, he misses his Jordy Nelson and James Jones even, and he's got rookies trying to figure it out? So I'm okay with the flyer. If you want to take a flyer, having Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback is a good situation. If I'm digging deep for someone that's not being talked about, if you're in a full PPR league, I think Bruce Ellington, wide receiver for the Detroit Lions, they're playing against the Los Angeles Rams. They're going to be down. He's going to, you know, I think last week he had 28 total yards, but it was on 6 receptions. And I think he's going to be in that 6-plus reception category. And to say that he'll be limited week in, week out to 28 yards, I mean, he was playing against the Bears defense last week. So Bruce Ellington's a guy. And then I would take, if you want a more of a nuclear dart throw, he's had good weeks. People have talked about him. But Curtis Samuel has been so fast as we knew coming in. I mean, we talked about this on the Fantasy Footballers podcast, that if he were a rookie this year, if he were drafted this season, which
he kind of is because he didn't play last year.
Exactly. He pretty much is a rookie. People would be all about, oh, he's looked so good. He's got so much juice. And the matchup against Tampa Bay, if there's someone that's getting a, you know, if you have to, like, make bets on who gets a 70-yard touchdown this week, he'd be near the top of my list against that type of a defense with his big playability. So those are the two, like, outside the top 40 that I would be excited to be sneaky.
It feels risky to play Curtis Samuel, but he's been so good. 3 of the past 4 weeks, he's got, 15 PPR points? And he goes against, those were against more difficult matchups, too. He goes against Tampa. Devin Funchess might miss again if he does. Samuel's targets have been upticking. ECR right now has Curtis Samuel at number 44, so that's right in flex play consideration. I've got him a little higher at 39. I would start him in the flex ahead of guys like Taylor Gabriel, Mike Thomas, Mohamed Sanu against Baltimore. Tags, what do you think about a couple of those names?
I want to throw Josh Doctson into the mix. I think that Doctson is an interesting play.
Yeah, because Philadelphia doesn't have any cornerbacks.
That's very true. Do you know, like, the names of these starting cornerbacks? Devontae Bosby, Cravon LeBlanc, and Shandon Sullivan.
You could be making up names right now, and I would not know any different.
You would not have any idea. And as 99% of people listening would agree. Colt McCoy is someone that's been targeting him more. Like, he has 17 targets over the last 2 weeks. He had never totaled any more than 12 in back-to-back games with Alex Smith. He had 66 yards last week. Like, he's continually moving in the right direction. And I know a lot of people like Trey Quinn. Trey Quinn's fine. Like, he plays a slot. It's a totally different position. But I would say that LeBlanc is probably the best cornerback that they're fielding right now. So I think Doxson's a good play this week. I mean, we know Adrian Peterson's not moving the ball very well, even though Philadelphia, their run defense has went down the tube. I don't even know what the hell happened. Like, I can't explain it, because they were a team that, over the first 8 weeks of the season, I think it was, or 7 or 8 weeks of the season, they allowed one running back to top like 42 yards rushing. Now, all of a sudden, they're giving out 100 games to everyone. So I could be wrong on Adrian Peterson, but I happen to think Philly bounces back before Adrian Peterson does. So I think they're gonna have to go through the air. I think Josh Doxson is a solid play.
Man, between the Eagles and the Jags, I could have seen both these teams in the Super Bowl to start the season. They're both horrible.
Ugh. Yeah, it's crazy, man. The last 6 weeks, the Eagles are the 29th ranked against running backs, 29th ranked against quarterbacks, and 29th ranked against wide receivers fantasy points given up. It's wheels are falling off.
That is incredible.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey had 80 yards against them back in week 7. Just 80 yards, 29 on the ground. You know, and then all of a sudden it's like Ezekiel Elliott, Mark Ingram, Saquon Barkley, come on down, take a 100-yard game.
Yep. All right, guys, let's go back to the game where we pick three. And we'll start at the top for more shallow leagues. So I'm going to give you guys three names. Allen Robinson against the Giants. Let's go Calvin Ridley against Baltimore. And Larry Fitzgerald against Green Bay. Jason, you're first.
Calvin Ridley, Allen Robinson. And out of those three guys, I'm going to go Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson got the targets that we weren't sure last week when Chase Daniel got in. I was very down on Allen Robinson. While I don't actually love the matchup here for any of these guys, especially for Larry Fitzgerald. Allen Robinson against the Giants is definitely the one that you would prefer of the matchup. So I'm going to go Allen Robinson. I've got him currently, I believe, wide receiver 27.
I'm low on all these guys. We've got ECR, Allen Robinson 25. I've got him at 30. And then Fitzgerald and Ridley, I've got outside my top 35, even though they're both in the top 30 ECR tags. Where do you have the three?
I have Robinson at 24. I don't think he's a bad play. Janoris Jenkins isn't the cornerback that he once was, even if they haven't been using him to shadow lately, because I think they realize he's just not playing very good football. B.W. Webb is not very good. So I don't mind Robinson. Obviously, like, he didn't look bad with Chase Daniel last week. It's just I just don't mind this matchup. When looking around the wide receivers in his range, like the guys like Tyler Boyd, like Doug Baldwin, I'm not in like love with those guys. So you could talk me into any of those guys. Like, there's a lot of guys in this territory. And Jason, I'm curious to hear from you. Like, because like I said, I really do appreciate people that are from an area and that can give like critique on their teams. So why don't you like this a matchup for Larry Fitzgerald? I just think that Josh Rosen the last 2 weeks, he's only thrown the ball 39 times, but the Packers, I mean, they have a nasty pass rush. Fitzgerald plays a slot. Tremont Williams has been asked to cover the slot. And ever since doing that, he's allowed 11 of 15 passing for 204 yards and 4 touchdowns in his coverage. So I just feel like Fitzgerald should be able to post wide receiver 3 numbers here.
Even with 3 targets?
No, well, that's because of the limited... Okay. I think that has to do with the limited pass attempts for Rosen, but are you just more concerned about Rosen under pressure?
No, it's not that so much. It's actually, and you bring this up, and it's true, as an Arizona fan, you do get more insight, you pay more attention, you hear more stories being here in Arizona. And one thing that I haven't heard talked about much elsewhere, but is exceptionally true, is that at this point in Larry Fitzgerald's career, he is a home road split guy. I mean, we're talking Big Ben levels of, I want Larry when he is in Arizona. I don't want him on the road. Right now, just this season, he's averaging 13 points at home and 8 on the road. For that reason, I mean, when you've got this low of an over under as far as projected point totals for Arizona, the offense isn't clicking. He's not at home in front of that hometown crowd that he, you know, tends to get up for. I mean, last week on the road, he did get a touchdown as his only reception, but I mean, 2 for 30 with a touchdown last week. Otherwise, I'm staying away from Larry on the road.
So would you rather play someone like Josh Reynolds, Sammy Watkins, one of these home run plays?
You know, Sammy with the foot injury, I'm going to avoid pretty much at all costs. But
I don't think he's playing at all, honestly.
That's my opinion as well.
So what do we do with Chris Conley then?
Yeah, I mean, Chris Conley could get up there, but I would be more inclined to play Chris Conley if they were playing against a great team, not a bad. You want a team that's going to be able to really keep up, and force, you know, what happened 2 weeks ago before their bye when there was 100 points scored and Chris Conley had a great game. Otherwise, I mean,
they're implied for 36 points. That's a ton against Oakland.
Oh, but 36 points. I mean, you soak that up with Kelsey and Tyreek Hill. There's just not enough to go around. Kareem Hunt, they take all of it. They're so selfish. But yes, so Josh Reynolds is a great name. I have Josh Reynolds 5 spots ahead of Larry Fitzgerald in my rankings this week.
Tags, would you play Chris Conley ahead of someone like Curtis Samuel that we mentioned earlier?
Yeah, I would play Conley over him. I have Conley right now at 41 in my rankings ahead of someone like Tre'Quan Smith. I don't know why people are all of a sudden like, Tre'Quan, he's got to be in your lineup as a wide receiver 2 or wide receiver 3. I don't get it. I really don't. I mean, it was one game, guys. I think people just forgot.
Like, he had one great game in week 5 and then he was just a turd.
He was off the map for like 3 or 4 weeks. And like the game before he blew up, like, he had a 0 target game against Cincinnati. So it's not like
when they scored 51 points.
Yeah, he's like a high upside. He's a high upside wide receiver 4. That's how I feel about him. If you want to throw in a Hail Mary, he's fine.
It's hilarious. He was ECR number 20 last week before he was ruled out.
Yeah, I know he was. And that, I was hoping he'd play because I wanted people to be wrong.
I know, man.
But Chris Conley, I have him 1 spot ahead of him. I would play Conley over guys like Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller. He just plays part of a high scoring offense. And obviously that's appealing, but Oakland has done better against the pass as of late. They've just been destroyed on the ground. So I think Kareem Hunt could be like the RB1 play this week, and we're going to talk about him on the DFS show tomorrow.
Somebody else that I'm pretty low on that's in this range, his ECR is number 34, Demaryius Thomas. I don't have him in my top 40. He's the clear-cut number 3, and they're throwing the ball like 24 times a game.
I think Kiki QT's out, so I think Demaryius Thomas is going to see like 6-plus targets in a plus matchup. You know Denzel Ward's going to be covering DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I'm not completely off of Demaryius Thomas either. I've actually got him ahead of Larry Fitzgerald by a spot in my rankings at 32.
Is QT definitely out? I read yesterday he's trending towards playing.
I hear that crap all the time. I don't buy it with a hamstring injury.
Well, I mean, I'll change my mind if QT's out, but if he's there, I'm not playing Demaryius Thomas. Sorry.
But even if he's in, he's dealt with this hamstring issue all year. I mean, it's one of those things where he's in for how long?
Enough to get 8 targets a game.
I have so many people in my timeline, actually, like when I tweeted something out, basically it's the third time he's had the hamstring injury, like seriously, he's droppable. I've had so many people that are Texans fans saying, why'd we draft this bum? He's a good player. Like, Kiki QT is a fantastic player, but he's having trouble staying healthy right now.
Yeah. All right, let's go 3 more names, then we'll move on over to quarterback and tight end, then DST at the end of the show. Adam Humphries against Carolina. Tags, I know you love this one. Sterling Shepard against Chicago. And then we'll go with Mike Williams at Pittsburgh. Jason, who are you taking?
Out of those, I would be the most excited to play Mike Williams just because I think he's got, you know, the touchdown upside. But in my rankings, I've got Adam Humphries in first position. You know, there's so many reasons I want to not believe in Adam Humphries.
No, yes.
Pronounced with an Humphries.
I love it, dude.
He's been getting it done. I mean, since their bye, he has been so involved, and he's been a startable asset. I mean, if you look 4 out of the last 5 weeks, you were happy that you started him. And yes, like I look at this last week where I was still not buying into Humphries. And I watch and I go, well, this took some kind of crazy rollout play where Jameis went to his right and found him and the defense broke down and he just got into a, you know, he ran into the end zone, had a good fantasy day, but it wasn't like it was a red zone valuable target that's usually worth that.
Yeah. I mean, but that's Tyler Boyd too.
Yeah. I mean, it just keeps happening. So at some point you have to say, yeah, Jameis is going to throw some picks, which means he's going to have to throw 3 touchdowns and 350 yards, and Adam Humphries is a guy he looks for. O.J. Howard's gone. So, Adam Humphries, I think, is the safest of the 3.
Tags, I've got Humphries up there, too. Do you have him, like, in your top 10 this week? I mean, that's where he's been the past 7 weeks in fantasy football.
No, I have him in wide receiver 3 territory, though. I definitely like Humphries. This is a team that he played, like, just a couple weeks ago, and he posted, it was 8 catches, I think, for 82 yards and 2 touchdowns. I'm not going to say that's going to happen again. And that's the thing. Adam Humphries is not going to continue to score touchdowns at the rate he's been doing. But at the same time, he's providing you a solid floor each and every week. And that's rare to say in this range. Like, you're talking about guys like Cortland Sutton, who hasn't, you know, he hasn't posted more than 3 catches in a single game. You're going to rely on.
Hold on. You're not starting Humphries over Sutton, are you?
I would. Yeah.
Against Cincinnati, I am going to fight you for this.
William Jackson. So William Jackson's a really good cornerback, but the thing is, like, he can be beat, like, over the top. And I think Sutton, I'm telling you this right now, if Sutton doesn't score a touchdown, I think he busts big time this week. So if you're betting on him getting a touchdown, that's fine. I have him at 35. I don't think he's, like, a terrible start, but I don't think he's great either.
I'm betting on him getting 2 touchdowns. Bring it.
But no, as for Mike Williams, I'm a little worried. I think he's going to see Joe Hayden in coverage the majority of the day, especially if Tyrell Williams is out. I think that they actually might use Joe Hayden in shadow coverage with him, and Hayden's been playing lights out. The Steelers as a team have not allowed a quarterback to throw for more than 229 yards in each of their last 6 games, so the yardage probably isn't going to be there. So, yeah, I worry about him. Sterling Shepard, tough matchup with Bryce Callahan, but he should be targeted with Evan Engram out of the lineup. So I have Shepard at 37, but I have Humphreys clearly ahead of these other guys.
All right, guys, here's how we're going to do it for tight ends. I've got 11 that I think are just locks to start. Obviously, if you've got, you know, 2 of them, you'll have to decide between them. But I'm going to name all 11. You guys tell me if you disagree about any of them being in your top 12. Then we'll figure out who to add if you need a streamer. Obviously, Kelce, Ertz, Gronk, Kittle. And then Ebron, Greg Olsen, Cameron Brate going up against Carolina, Jared Cook against the Chiefs, David Njoku against Houston, Jordan Reed, Trey Burton. Jason, do you have any of those guys outside your top 12?
Yeah, you know, right now I've got Jordan Reed outside of my top 12. That could change, but I mean, once you get past most of the people that you said, I mean, if you're talking about Austin Hooper, you know, he's like, I don't want to start him, but he's, you know, been targeted enough recently. The one place you can kind of attack Baltimore has been at the tight end position, so maybe I prefer that. Do you want a piece of, you know, the Los Angeles Rams offense with Gerald Everett and hope for touchdowns, or, you know, so this whole range, I don't love anyone, but yeah, I've got Jordan Reed right now as my tight end 14.
Here's why I can't put Jordan Reed outside my top 12. I know he hasn't been especially good, but you look at his last 5 weeks, he leads the NFL among tight ends in targets with 43. Number 2 is Kelce, Kittle, Ertz, and then Austin Hooper is down at number 5 with 27. So there's a pretty big drop off there. I do have Hooper outside of my top 12. Tags, is there anyone here you're leaving outside of your top 12?
No, I have. My order is very similar to yours, actually. I have Jordan Reed at 10.
I just read ECR. So you're just copying ECR like you're just trying to cheat?
I should. Honestly, honest to God, tight end has been my worst, like absolute worst. And it's like,
it's been all 3 of our worst. I looked at it earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a crap shoot, but, I think Austin Hooper is a good call. I have him as my a top 12 option this week. I have Jordan Reed at number 10. But yeah, it's very likely a week that Austin Hooper might get a little overlooked just because it's Baltimore, but with Julio Jones and, Calvin Ridley dealing with Jimmy Smith and Marlon Humphrey and Brandon Carr, I just feel like none of their matchups are plus matchups, and the Falcons have been really good about attacking opponents' weaknesses. So I think Austin Hooper is a solid play this week. Now with AJ Green coming back, I'm looking to slowly back off this take, but CJ Uzama.
That's who I'm going with. That's my number 12.
Yeah, Jeff Driskel has thrown 36 passes this year. Of those 36 passes, 10 of them were directed at Uzama. He's not the most efficient on a target per target basis, but
he will be against Denver. Everyone is.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we even saw 90-year-old Antonio Gates put up 5 catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown against them 2 weeks ago. So Uzama's not a bad play.
13 targets last week. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, Uzama used to be part of the backups playing with Jeff Driskel, whatnot, so maybe there's a connection there. I have no idea. But yeah, he's on that range, and I think Kyle Rudolph can actually be streamed this week too. I it's weird to say that Kyle Rudolph is a streaming tight end, but in a game against New England where Stephon Gilmore is going to match up with Stephon Diggs, they may double Adam Thielen somehow, like kind of just bring down a safety and have him help out Jonathan Jones.
Why not double Diggs, man? He's been better lately.
Because when they have Gilmore on someone, they trust him. They trust him in man coverage. So Diggs can beat him for sure. But I mean, like, he's going to get his hands on him. Like, if you get your hands on Diggs, you could actually slow him down. So I think Gilmore, that's what they're going to try and do.
Gilmore plays with his hands, like, in the guy's back pocket the whole game. And they never call it because it's like, well, that's how he plays, man.
Now, within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, man, he can do whatever he wants to Stephon Diggs. And I think that he's going to try and maul him. Because if you let Diggs get, like, seriously get moving and then get his feet moving, like, the dude just, he stops on a dime. His route running is phenomenal. But yes, that's why I think Kyle Rudolph is actually a solid streamer this week.
All right, so Jason, let's say you're desperate. Austin Hooper's gone. All the other names we mentioned are out there. Kyle Rudolph, CJ Uzama. We got Vance McDonald against the Chargers. Chris Herndon, Gerald Everett. Do you like any of these guys more than the other?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the Kyle Rudolph take. I think New England is famous for shutting down your number one option. Whatever you're best at, that's what they're going to focus on. And Kyle Rudolph has not been their best option. So, you know, there's, you know, and CJ Uzama could get it going. I'm not crazy about any of these guys. And if you want to go crazy deep and take a you know, one of those glory play type shots, Matt Lacoste, you know, filling in for Heuerman, who got injured for Denver, going up against that historically bad Cincinnati Bengals defense, maybe you get lucky. But if I had to take one of all of those, it would be Rudolph.
All right, guys, quarterback position. I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers as the number 10 quarterback this week. Tags, you'd rather play Jameis Winston than him against Carolina, right?
Yeah, I would.
So weird, man.
It is really weird to say that. Like, someone asked me last week, they're like, should I play Winston over Brady? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, it just feels weird with my playoff hopes on the line. And I'm like, I'm just telling you, this, if it was my team.
Feels weird playing Brady with your playoff hopes on the line. Are you serious?
Well, they felt like against the Jets it was a no-brainer, but I didn't think it was.
He was fine. He had his best game of the year. He was a normal, average quarterback.
But yeah, no, it's very true. I have a new stat on him I put in the primary. You guys will see that tomorrow morning. But so Dante Jackson, I don't know if he's going to play. He suffered a quad injury last week, and Carolina, they have not been good with him in the lineup. So, I mean, without, it's going to hurt even more. They've allowed 24 passing touchdowns. That's the fifth most in the NFL. Obviously, I don't expect Peyton Barber to do much against the Carolina run defense. So, I mean, ever since coming back, Jameis Winston has completed 76% of his passes for 511 yards, four touchdowns, one pick. So, Jameis Winston is...
He's running the ball like seven times a game, too.
Yeah, I have him as my number five quarterback right now.
Yeah, I've got him number four. I can't help myself. Jason, who would you take out of those two? Jameis Winston, Aaron Rodgers. Let's throw Deshaun Watson in there, too.
Out of those, I've got them back-to-back-to-back in my rankings in the order of Jameis Winston, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers.
Same.
I don't have him back-to-back-to-back, but obviously, since I have Winston at four, but I've still got Rodgers ahead of Watson. I mean, I know he keeps getting all these touchdowns, but guys, he hasn't had over 25 pass attempts or 240 yards in six straight games.
Yeah, since week five. But he's running the ball more. And like I said, the reason I like Watson a lot this week, I've been worried about volume two. I've been ranking him as like a low-end QB1, high-end QB2. But this week, the reason I said, man, Cleveland has been able to put up some points, right? And if they can put up some points on Houston, we're going to see more pass attempts. Cleveland, their opponents average over 70 plays per game too. So even if they run the ball 30 times, you're talking about, what, 40 dropbacks? I don't think he's going to do that, but I think that this is a 30-plus attempt game for Deshaun Watson.
That would break a very long trend. Remember, in those six games, he's got three games of 5, 11, and 9 fantasy points. It is risky to play Watson. I don't want to do that with my season on the line. I'd rather pick up Phillip Rivers against Pittsburgh. I don't know if pick him up. If you have him, I'd rather play him than Watson because he's safe week to week. He's not going to blow up like Watson does from time to time, but you can bank on 18, 20 points.
So I don't know if that's the case, though, and I'd be curious to hear Jason's take on this one because Rivers, ever since week 5 through week 12, the Steelers have not allowed a quarterback to finish better than the QB18 against them.
Oh, man.
You know, I'm really curious to make sure that TJ Watt is healthy. But if Watt is, because he left the Steelers game, but if Watt is there for their defense has just been so good. And while you're tempted to write the narrative, okay, Melvin Gordon's not there, Phillip Rivers is going to have to shoulder more, you know, and that could happen. I mean, Phillip Rivers is, you know, that questionable Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. He could certainly get the job done. He's been so good this year. I actually have him right now down at 16 behind Tom Brady and Dak Prescott. You know, the Steelers defense has been great. Phillip Rivers is on the road. If Melvin Gordon actually hurts the drives staying alive and the total offensive output, Phillip Rivers does not seem like a safe play to me right now.
I think he throws the ball more as a result. That's why I've got him in my top 10. You also mentioned another name I have in my top 10, Dak Prescott. He's down at number 16 for ECR. I know the Saints secondary has been a lot better, but Dak Prescott's been playing some very good football.
Yeah, I've got Dak Prescott above his ECR. I think, you know, he's at home. It's a great matchup. He's got Amari Cooper, and we talked about this on our show today, is like everything, literally everything that could go right for Amari Cooper on paper is set up for him to succeed right now. And this is usually where Amari Cooper will disappoint everyone.
He's probably going to, and that's the reason I have Dak down at 18, because they're going to take, like, his number one option, Amari Cooper, is going to be covered by Marshawn Lattimore.
Don't say that, man. I need Cooper to go nuts this week.
I don't think Cooper goes nuts this week. There's no bigger Cooper fan than me, but I mean, he's going to get some, like, I have him as like a high end wide receiver 3 this week, I think. Like, I don't love him.
Has Lattimore been great this year though?
Lately, yeah, past 2 months.
After that first game against Mike Evans, he's been really good. He got destroyed by Mike Evans in week 1, but after that, he's been good. I mean, Dak, I don't know. I have him at 18. I think that this is going to sound crazy just saying it out loud, but I think that Case Keenum's a better starter than Dak Prescott.
That sounds crazy.
It does. I know. But I think he might be. I mean, the Bengals, man. Bengals.
You're right. Oh, man. I'm looking at Keenum's game log. It hasn't actually been that bad lately, but I'm not playing him over Dak. No chance of that. Okay, let's go with 3 more names that we haven't mentioned who are here on the fringe. Kirk Cousins against the Patriots. Lamar Jackson against Atlanta. And they'll go with Carson Wentz against Washington.
Oh, man. Those are 3 back-to-back-to-back in my rankings again. I'm going to go with my start of the week, though. He's technically sandwiched here, but I think rankings to some degree are stupid. They're so important and they're so stupid at the same time. But I'm going with Lamar Jackson. The upside potential versus Atlanta with his rushing ability. I mean, last week, he hasn't thrown for 200 yards yet.
Playing in a dome.
And he's been great for fantasy. Definitely good enough to win. And, you know, you take a look at last week, he had 2 interceptions and a fumble, and he still finished okay. But just imagine, like, one of those interceptions was deep in the other territory. You turn that into you take that interception away. Not only is it the 2 points that you're going to get, but maybe he scores a touchdown, and all of a sudden he's a top 5 quarterback. Basically, what I'm saying is,
with less than 200 passing yards.
Exactly, because of the stupidity of fantasy football for giving 10. I hate the way that quarterbacks get, you know, a point for every 10 rushing yards and a point for every 25 passing yards. But that's a whole nother topic. If you're playing in broken fantasy football, then you've got to take advantage of Lamar Jackson's ability to run for 100 yards on the ground and then also throw touchdowns. So I see his potential as, you know, if at the end of the week he's the number 1 quarterback, I won't be surprised.
You've got one of those blue check marks. Doesn't that mean you can just change fantasy football rules?
I've been trying. Apparently it's a slow process.
You guys are hilarious.
All right. I love Lamar Jackson as well. I think he could go nuts and put up 30. I've got him in my top 10. It's just so close between like number 5 and number 15. So tags of those names I mentioned, Cousins, Lamar Jackson, Carson Wentz, who are you playing?
I have Cousins highest. I have Cousins as my QB9 this week.
ECR has him highest as well.
Yeah, going into New England, I just feel like that game is going to be somewhat of a shootout. I feel like you're going to see the pass attempts pile up. I think you're going to see Dalvin Cook using the passing game. Obviously, as I mentioned, Diggs can beat Gilmore if they need to. It's really tough to double a slot receiver, and if they do that, Kyle Rudolph is going to be an option. So I think this is a week where I would trust Kirk Cousins as like a low-end QB1.
He's averaging 42 pass attempts the last 2 games as well. I mean, you look at his pass attempts throughout the season. He's been over 50 several times. He's been over 40 more than half the time. He's throwing a ton of passes right now. He's definitely not a bad play. Now, I've got 2 really tricky ones here, okay? Obviously, Mitch Trubisky, if he plays, is going to be on the fringe against the Giants. Tag starter sit.
Man, it's really tough coming off a shoulder injury. It really depends. Like, I'd probably put him right above someone like Tom Brady. I'd view him as like a high-end QB2. I'd probably start Lamar Jackson over him. I would start Carson Wentz over him. I would just prefer to see a week back, honestly. And New York hasn't really been a great matchup for quarterbacks, to be honest with you. Like, they've been a sturdy matchup where it's like you have a fantasy floor, but they haven't allowed much of a ceiling.
I don't think he runs the ball much if he plays, and that's where his appeal comes from.
For sure.
So, yeah, so I wouldn't play Mitch Trubisky. Jason, what about you?
Yeah, no, I echo tags. I mean, he literally put him exactly where I would. A quarterback 2 behind Wentz and those, I don't. Yeah, I mean, the matchup isn't exciting for him to have some big, huge explosion game back and forth. I don't think the Giants are going to be putting up a lot of points against the Bears. And the truth is, I don't think he plays. I mean, if I'm the Bears and I can play against the Giants and steal another victory with Chase Daniel, which you can, I would give him another week to rest.
So I have Tom Brady as a sit against Minnesota. Tell me if you guys disagree. But what about Matt Ryan against Baltimore? ECR has him at 17. He's a little bit closer to the top 12 for me.
Yeah, I've got him as a sit if you're in a one quarterback league. Baltimore's defense, I mean, they're legit. They're great, and you know they've been great the whole season. They've been great recently. With Lamar Jackson there, running the ball and giving Gus Edwards 20 plus carries and, you know, running the clock out. I'm not excited to play Matt Ryan this week.
So let me give you this scenario, okay? Let's say Lamar Jackson's sitting out there on the waiver wire. You've got Matt Ryan as your only quarterback. You can go pick up Lamar Jackson, but that means you either have to drop Matt Ryan or say you've got Spencer Ware at the end of your bench and you have to drop him. Is the upgrade to one of those QB1s worth it? Or do you just start Matt Ryan?
Yeah, no. I mean, if I can drop Spencer Ware, Spencer Ware is a worthy handcuff, should be owned in most leagues, but I'm going for winning the game now, this week. I'm always going to choose to put my best effort forward. So
yeah, and it depends on if you need a win this week. Like if you're already in the playoffs and you don't need a win, I probably would hang on to Ware.
Yes.
I'm with you. Yeah.
But if you need a win this week, obviously you have to do everything you can and not.
What if it's the difference between a playoff bye?
I'd probably play to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would too. I really want to keep Ware, but probably no one listening to the show is in that exact situation. Let's move on over to the DST top streamer of the week. Tags, you're first.
DST, I mean, we talked a little bit about this one on our waiver wire show. I mean, I like the Seahawks defense at home. They have Nick Mullins coming in there, but he's going to play in Seattle. I mean, that place is always tough to play. I have no idea why people haven't owned Seattle. I mean, coming into last week, they had 18 sacks in 5 games. I don't know what the 49ers bring to the table that can do anything to the Seahawks. I mean, I really just don't get it. And the other two that I would mention that are good starts is Kansas City and Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee is my number one defense overall, even over the Chicago Bears. A sneaky one that I like is Green Bay against Arizona. Sorry, Jason, but Josh Rosen is just not that polished yet. Indianapolis against Jacksonville I like as well, and then obviously Miami faced Buffalo. Jason, do you have any names to add to that or anyone you want to echo?
Well, Tennessee was going to be my pick. I would play Seattle ahead of them. It's insane to me, Seattle's ownership percentage. They're a good defense. And then, look, I know Driscoll did all right, but Denver, they've got a pretty good defense. And Denver should be owned anyways, because if you look at their playoff schedule, they're just a fantastic stash defense. So, you know, I'd be willing to pick them up, play them even on the road against Cincinnati with Driscoll.
For the rest of the season, would you rather have Denver face the 49ers, Cleveland, and Oakland? Would you rather have Tennessee against this week? They've got the Jets, the Jags, the Giants, and then Colt McCoy in Washington.
Yeah, I think I lean towards Tennessee out of that group.
Me too. Tags, who you taking?
I would also go Tennessee.
All right, guys. Well, that's all we have for today's show. Jason, as always, it was a pleasure.
Yeah, happy to be here. I'm sure I'll be back some point in the future, hopefully still with good rankings.
Looking forward to it. All right, and thanks to the sponsor of today's show, PristineAuction.com. That's PRISTINE. And make sure to sign up for that signed Dalvin Cook Vikings helmet at FantasyPros.com/contest. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Explore a wide selection of luxury spirits, wine, and champagne at ReserveBar.com. Elevate your gifting this year with rare and exceptional bourbons, tequilas, scotch, wine, champagne, with personalized engraving, exceptional glassware, and more. From wines to whiskeys, there's a bottle for everyone. For a limited time, save $20 on your order of $150 plus with the code IHEART at ReserveBar.com.